Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 8th of March, recording at a latish 10:17 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Well, this was a really interesting day in here today. First, as far as global stock markets are concerned, I'll just do a quick sort of highlights and then come back and review. Global stock markets facing a headwind here today in terms of further strength in oil, and more importantly, a drop in the bond prices, long-dated government bond prices. But the big action was in the U.S. dollar, which had another downward dynamic. Remember, a lot of people have been talking the dollar up recently, not myself, fortunately. And so that downward dynamic was really quite significant, and it helped to inspire a good rally in the precious metals, some of them at any rate. Gold was one of the bigger gainers, up 6 on the day. Okay, let's go back to the beginning. First, as far as global stock markets are concerned, you know my view that we are late in this cycle, but that it isn't over until it's over, as someone once famously said. And the lead indices, for the most part, continue to confirm on the upside. I mean, Australia and New Zealand, for instance, the two developed stock markets that I have placed most store by in terms of this cycle as being lead indicators, remain magnificently consistent. Now, that can change in a day, and I suspect probably will at some point, but I'm not going to try to prejudge where that is, except to repeat that I see a lot of warning signs in stock markets. But it's really a question of how long do investors actually remain confident, and they're certainly reasonably confident here at the moment. In Asia, the one market that came down a bit that I like and was a bit surprised to see was Thailand. And I read about it, and I thought, oh, this is no problem. That's a buying opportunity. It was a report, evidently, by Merrill Lynch, which, they said that it had gone up enough, so you had to take profits at some time, so they were taking profits. Given the comparative valuations in Thailand, and when you compare those with some of the other emerging markets in the region, my own view is that Thailand is a bargain. More importantly, I think the charts still look pretty good for a further run. So just in case you saw that report or were a bit concerned about it, I was reassured by that. I mean, people are buying and selling every day here, and I'm not denigrating Merrill Lynch. View is as likely to be as right as anybody else's, but I would have been more concerned if there had been some Thai-specific event that had caused that to happen, rather than a recommendation. Okay, Japan just finally broke that string of 8 consecutive days on the upside for the Nikkei. And not surprising, a little nervousness up here near this 12,000 level, but it was only down 38 points. I also noticed the second section came down a little bit. I'm toying, as you may recall, with the idea of adding to my Nikkei position long, although the little voice on my shoulder saying, hang on here a minute, David, is the one that doesn't want to leverage up too much. But that said, you know, Japan is my favorite developed country market for the long term. That doesn't mean that it's going to do best over any given short period necessarily. I mean, given all the different markets, it's unlikely to more often than not. But by virtue of the fact that Japan's bubble burst in 1990, and that it went through a long secular bear market before starting the recovery in 2003, I think that if any market is going to have a looser coupling, they never uncouple completely, but if any market's going to have a looser coupling to what takes place on Wall Street among the developed country markets, I think it's likely to be I'd be Japan. So, that's that. What else to mention on stock markets? I think that's pretty much it, except the gold shares very strong in here, and it looks to me like they're going to get a further run. The metal stocks in general have been very, very firm, but maybe some of the industrial metal stocks took a bit of a breather here today. And the golds picked up the running. I wouldn't be surprised to see that continue. Now, moving on to the government bonds. I didn't see anything to account for what was a fairly significant sell-off over a point at one stage, although that was pared back a little bit towards the end here. But what's really interesting is we had that upside key day reversal on Friday when the unemployment figures came out, and that caught the market by surprise. And I said I think it'll rally a little bit further, and it rallied yesterday. But today, the only thing I could see on Bloomberg was that just a number of people said that, well, maybe prices, sorry, yields weren't attractive enough given the inflation risks that actually exist. Well, that's certainly my view, as you know. And given that upper dynamic on Friday, if we see bond futures prices, U.S. Treasury bond futures prices move back down below Friday's lows, that really would, I just think, reaffirm and help the fact that long-dated yields are moving up once again, and prices, of course, coming down, would certainly encourage anybody with a short view in this market. But I'm prepared to be well, gently bored by ranging in these markets more often than not for a while yet. But I maintain that, say, bond yields are very, very unlikely to fall significantly from current levels over any time period. But I certainly do think they will rise significantly from current levels over the medium to longer term, and they may well rise a fair bit here in the reasonably short term. If so, that will be bad news for government, beg your pardon, bad news for global stock markets, as I've mentioned on innumerable occasions. Okay, getting on to the currencies. Remember all those people saying buy the dollar? And really, I found some amazingly confident statements, at any rate, confident sounding, I should say, statements. And maybe sometimes we do that to reassure ourselves if what we're doing is fairly heavy. But at any rate, as far as I'm concerned, go back to early February, we had that downward dynamic checking the dollar's technical rally, and really all the dynamics have been downwards for the dollar subsequently. You can see that on the chart of the US dollar index. Now, the closer that gets down to that 80 level, more likely we are to see some steadying once again. It's got a way to go here. It closed tonight at 81.96, and you can see that chart. But as I mentioned in comment of the day, that the rule of thumb from the chart seminar regarding dynamics is back the last dynamic until it is countermanded. Well, what countermands a dynamic? Well, the most important form of countermanding would be a dynamic the following day in the opposite direction. In other words, if tomorrow we get a good rally in the US dollar index that completely wipes out today's downside move, that would do the trick. And that would embolden those dollar bulls, and there are a fair number of them. Conversely, additional follow-through would keep the pressure on dollar bulls and further embolden dollar bears. The other way you can offset a dynamic is if not necessarily with a, well, it's just that the best signal is if you very quickly see a dynamic in the opposite direction that just wipes out previous day's move. But sometimes the market will move more slowly and take out the price move that occurred on the day of the dynamic. That's a little bit less reliable signal overall, though. Okay, so as far as I'm concerned at this stage, it still looks to me like the dollar is going to weaken further in the short term. Although, remember where this started. This move started at 85, and we're now down just below 82 on that dollar index. And it had bounced quite vigorously and didn't quite get to 80. The actual low on the index, to see, was 80.39. And there are historic lows down on this level, down at this, down at that level, down to, and they extend on down to 78, I believe. Okay, other currency action in here. Terrific action on the Aussie. That hit a new high. Hasn't broken through that psychological 80-cent level yet, but I think it's going to do it. Or I'll put it this way, it would take a downward dynamic to offset that potential. Last at 79.83 in the after-hours trading. And the New Zealand dollar, I have both of these in a nice extension that had broken upwards, so I think it was on Friday, continued yesterday and today. So that's good technical action. I've been talking about picking up a little bit more of that, and I haven't yet. No good reason for that. Bone idleness, I'll put it down to. I probably should go ahead and just do it anyway, although I don't like to chase things. Now, in the precious metals, I mentioned that gold up over 440. I'm sort of debating whether or not to put in a stop. I've got a moderately large position there, and it would probably be prudent to do that, although sometimes prudent means you just get stopped out. Okay, you don't get sandbagged, but you get shaken out of a good position because the market's a little bit choppy in a range. And it's the fact that gold is still in a range that makes me a little wary of that tactic. Although I might do a little bit of baby stepping with it. That's another alternative to consider, and that's certainly been my strategy with silver, as you'll know from today's comments. And the main thing I hope for from silver is more volatility. It's dull when it goes into one of those tight little ranges, as it does from time to time. But with silver, you don't have to hang around too long before there's some pretty volatile, dramatic action. Industrial metals, now they started off today with really quite good gains, and we had some breakouts, new highs, and then they tailed off towards the end, gave up a significant portion of those gains. Overall, the patterns still look really quite bullish overall, but they have been choppy. And my expectation is that if these patterns, these big ranging patterns that we've seen over the last year or more, are continuation patterns, and I think they are, then continuations prior to extension of the upward trend, I mean, then they should become more orderly relatively soon. We will see. What else can I mention? I think that's pretty much it, except natural gas. Nice gain in here. Again today, I ought to start thinking about what I am thinking about it, but some sort of tactics here. I think, well, maybe I should grab part of that position because I had an expensive rollover. When was it? I think it was last month, late last month, in what had been one of my more profitable trading vehicles last year, and so I. That does color one's thinking a little bit, and I think, well, maybe I should just grab this what's turning into be quite a good gain, and offsetting most of that rollover loss that I just referred to. Then I look at the weekly chart that I posted in here today, and I think, well, that really looks terrific. And now, natural gas isn't the same thing as crude oil, obviously, or the other oil derivative contracts, but it's certainly a related industry. And I find it hard to believe, as I've said before, and said when I rolled it over, that natural gas is going to be dragging along at a relatively low level within a big ranging pattern at a time when oil contracts are pressuring their highs. Same thing applies to the various metals when one of them from time to time has a bit of a duff performance. I do tend to rely quite heavily on commonality within the sector, and if they're all pretty firm, well, if the others are mainly pretty firm, then I will tend to view one metal's adverse move or deviation from that commonality as a temporary aberration, and that usually is the case more often than not. Well, that's it pretty much, folks. I'm going to go home, grab a bite of supper, and go to bed. Good night.